was said of some of the apostles and early disciples
that people took note that they had been with Jesus. There was something about their lives that reminded others of Christ, not just what they did, but just who they were. The Bible says that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to be His witnesses. And He doesn't just say, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll give you power to witness. He says, when you're filled with my Spirit, you will become my witnesses. I'm going to so change your life that your very life is going to witness. People are going to see the change. They're going to see Christ in you. And God wants us to be witnesses so that we can witness for Him. Hallelujah. When I was living in Fredericksburg, Virginia, I was telling someone the other day, I was ministering there with, that was the first church that I was involved in ministry. And I was working there with a man named Bowie Curry. You don't know too many Bowies in your life, I'm sure, right? Actually, his first name was Manly Bowie Curry. But I guess that was a bit much to live up to. So he chose the Bowie. Anyway, we ministered together there. I was there for 2.5 years. And I remember being in the basement of the church one day, and there was a mother, a grandmother with her grandchild. And he saw me, and then he looked around. And then he said to his grandmother, "Where's the other Jesus? Where's the other Jesus?" In his mind, we were Jesus, right? As a little boy, the pastor's up there. I guess he heard us talk about Jesus. The name came up so much. So where's the other Jesus? And I thought, wow, that's quite a name to live up to, right? The other Jesus. Praise God. But there's something to that. God wants Jesus to be seen in us. Let's turn to Philippians and let's just look at a few of those verses. We've read the book and now we're going to zero in on those examples. We know that in Timothy, the Apostle Paul told him, "Be thou an example of the believers. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in word and conversation." That means lifestyle. "In love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." You know, there are young people that are more like Jesus than some people that have been serving God for years. How can that be? Well, it's because they have gotten hold of that light. God has called me to be like Jesus, and they have yielded themselves to that call. Others have resisted. I want to be like Jesus, but not all the time. Sometimes I want to say what I want to say and go where I want to go. You know, you don't want to be fanatical about this thing. That's how they think. But you know, young people can really be an example. They don't have the same experience, perhaps, as others that have served God for years, but at least along the lines of being Christ-like, they can be a real example, even to the older ones. I look at people sometimes and I see certain qualities in their life. Maybe a certain person has such a humility about them. God has been able to develop that in them. And I admire that. And even among people that are younger than I am, I say, boy, I would, what humility in that person. Lord, won't you develop that in me? I want to be more humble like that. And I want to be more loving. I want to be more diligent and so on. And so don't shy away from this or minimize what God can do for you along these lines. Now, of course, Jesus is our supreme example, and we've spoken much about him. So I'd like to particularly concentrate on the Apostle Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus. Let's look first of all at the Apostle Paul. I wrote down, Paul is an example, his love for the Philippians. That is an example. That was exemplary, that Paul had a real love for the Philippians. How did he express that love? Now I'm asking you questions. How did he express that love for the Philippians? He wrote them a letter that because he was concerned about them and wanted to help them grow in the Lord. He prayed for them, absolutely. He gave himself to prayer. He says, I think of you all the time and I pray for you with joy, remembering your partnership in the gospel. And so he prayed for the people that he ministered to. He didn't forget them when he was away from them. He always had them on his heart. It wasn't just that he did his job, he preached, and now he could move on to the next church. But he maintained a real loving interest in these people that God had used him to lead to the Lord. So he had a great love for the Philippians. He expressed that love in prayer for them. He was willing to suffer for them as well. Whatever it took to bring the gospel to you, and I'm willing to go through whatever I have to go through. I'm putting your needs before my own, and the call of the gospel comes first. He was an example in suffering in what way? What was exemplary about the suffering, the way Paul handled his suffering? Yeah, he counted it joy. He was able to rejoice in spite of his suffering. He was able to praise the Lord, rejoice, and keep his spirit free. He rejoiced in his suffering. He had joy in their blessing. With the suffering, he goes on here and he mentions that as long as Christ is glorified, as long as Christ is magnified, I don't care what happens to me. I don't care whether I have to be in prison or whatever. As long as his name is being magnified in me, whether by life or death, that's an example to follow. That he's just living for the glory of God. He's just, he puts the interest of Christ and his kingdom first and foremost in his life. Nothing else matters but that Jesus is glorified. That's why I'm here. And if I have to suffer and he is glorified as a result, then I rejoice. Hallelujah. I'm even willing to die for the Lord. When the Apostle Paul went to Jerusalem, they knew that there was suffering that was awaiting him. He was going to. Even the Lord used prophets to warn him about that. This is what's going to happen to the man that goes to Jerusalem. He's going to be bound and imprisoned and beaten. And Paul said, why are you trying to break my heart or weaken my resolve? Not only am I willing to suffer for Jesus in Jerusalem, but I'm willing to lay down my life if that's what he wants at this time. And so here's a man that was so given to God that he lost sight of himself and he gave himself fully to Jesus. He's an example of one who promotes unity and love. He talked a lot about that in the book. Love one another. You too, get along with each other. Come on. Let your love grow and abound in all wisdom and all understanding and discernment and so on. And he's also an example to us in the way in which he put his trust in Christ. Even though I'm alone here in the prison, I can trust Christ. He's going to take care of me. Whether you bring me a gift or whether I have to suffer some lack along certain lines, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's brought me through more than this in the past, and he'll get me through this as well. And so, you know, as you read through the book of Philippians, it's right. Paul invites us to consider his example and then to pray that God will help us to be like Jesus as Paul was like Jesus. Let's read something about Timothy. There's only a few verses mentioned there. Kenny, can you read for me? Because I won't see you for a few days and I won't hear your voice. Philippians chapter 2, 19 through 23.
Sure.
Out loud.
I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me.
Thank you. Okay, Paul thought very highly of Timothy, it sounds like it, doesn't it? And we know that Timothy was a young man. We don't know what his age is at this point. But Paul tells him, let no man despise thy youth. You're going to be ministering to people that are much older than you. But don't let that intimidate you. Show them respect. Honor the fact that they're more experienced. And you can learn from them as well as they can learn from you. But lead the way. God's call is upon your life to be their minister. And be all that God has called you to be. And he speaks here about Timothy's dependability. He said, I'm going to send Timothy to you, and I know that he's going to bring back a good report. He's going to tell me what's going on, and I can trust what he has to say. He says that there's no man like-minded. We're on the same page, Timothy and I. We both want the Lord. We want to be all that God wants us to be. We want God's people to prosper. We want to bring the gospel to as many as we can. And he says, not everybody's like that, but I there's a connection between me and Timothy. We're really working together. There are places where Paul refers to some people, my fellow workers, my fellow laborers, fellow soldiers in Christ. And so he says, Timothy is like-minded, and he says he has a caring heart. He will naturally care for your estate. He really has the heart of Jesus, Timothy. It's not just a job to him. He really cares about you and the people that he ministers to. It's just become so natural to him. It's just Jesus flowing through him. And you'll find in Timothy that he genuinely is concerned about you. You know, sometimes we doubt the sincerity of certain people. You can tell when someone really cares about you, and you can tell when someone's just performing their duty. When we pray for the counselors, we pray, God, help those counselors to really love those children. The children will be able to tell whether they really love them and really care about them, or whether they're just, counseling and wanting to be here to see their friends and so on. And so Timothy naturally cared for your state. The Bible talks about the fact that we have two natures. We have a sinful nature. Jesus needs to deliver us from that. That's why he came to save us. The sinful nature makes sinning very natural. Brother Paul mentioned you don't have to teach children to complain and to be selfish. That comes natural. That's my toy, right? I never had to teach my son. Now, Kenny, take that toy away from Bethany and tell her no. He did that all by himself. when Jesus comes into our hearts, we have a new nature. And he wants to so work in us that being like Jesus becomes natural to us. And evidently, Timothy came to a place in God where the loving care of Jesus became natural to him. It wasn't just that he was a nice guy. It was Christ. It was those feelings of Jesus, that heart of Jesus that flowed from Timothy. And people felt that. He was selfless. And he was faithful to Paul. He said, he serves with me like a son and a father. What do you think Paul's trying to bring out by saying that Timothy is serving alongside me like my own son? Excuse me? They had a special bond and relationship. Paul was not his natural father, obviously. Maybe his spiritual father. But there was this, I look at you like my son, and you look to me like your father. As a father, he showed Paul respect, right? Honor thy father and mother. He submitted to Paul. He did what he could to relieve Paul of certain burdens and to free Paul up to do the work of the ministry. But it was just more than a working relationship. There was a real love and a real mutual respect and a real caring for one another. Praise God. Brother Edwin had that relationship with Brother Hans, I understand. He said, I felt that God raised me up in the ministry to help my uncle and free him up to do whatever God had called him to do. I read in this book, which you're all welcome to, not this one, this one. They're handing these out at camp. It's the life of Brother Hans Waldfogel. And I read in this book that there was a year when Brother Edwin and his wife went to Germany to prepare for the tent meetings that Brother Hans was going to conduct. And they were in Germany for 10 months getting ready. Now, all we hear about is Brother Hans preaching at those tent meetings and people getting saved. Well, what a man Brother Hans was. But Brother Hans was able to do what he did because of people like Brother Edwin. 10 months, they had to get permits, they had to find a tent, they had to get songbooks printed, they had to advertise. It took them almost a year to prepare for Brother Hans to come over and minister. And so Brother Edwin was like a son to Brother Hans, and he like a spiritual father to him. Praise God. Timothy really had a servant's heart, didn't he? And just was willing to serve and care and selflessly give himself to the people of God. The last person I want to talk about, and we've got a few minutes, is Epaphroditus. Again, he was from the church in Philippi. He had come to bring a gift to help relieve Paul in his suffering. Let's read about him, chapter 2, and there's 5 verses there, 25 through 30. Praise God. My nephew, that's you. Can you read those for us, Andrew?
I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor, such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete that vote that was lacking in your service to me.
Amen. Wow, that's quite a commendation, right? Here's this man who risked his life. He just spent himself. He went the extra mile to get to Paul and to minister to him in the name of the Philippians. And so here he's exemplary for his wholehearted service, his sacrificial giving of himself, and his willingness to minister and to fill that need when others couldn't. You know, we can all see things that need to be done, and we all think somebody should take care of it. You'll see those things at camp. Boy, somebody should do that, or someone should fix this. But we don't think of ourselves being the somebody. You heard the story, right? Mr. Anybody and Mr. Nobody and Mr. Somebody, they saw a problem. Well, anybody could have fixed it. Somebody should have fixed it, but who fixed it? Nobody. And the story goes on and on like that. Mr. Somebody saw things, and somebody should have done something, and anybody, he could have done it, but it ended up nobody did it, over and over again. Well, Epaphroditus, he wasn't a nobody. He was, I don't know what he was, but he was the one that went and filled up that which was lacking and volunteered to bring the gift to Paul. And he really Well, it's like this. I've wanted to use this since I got here. This is a banana. You know, the Bible says that God wants our lives to be fruitful. There's one prayer that says, being fruitful in every good work. God doesn't want us to waste our time. He wants us to be fruitful in every good work that we do. He wants it to count. Accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. But in our zeal, we have to be careful not to overextend ourselves. How was that? Okay. See? Because then you're good for nothing, right? You're not any good to anybody. Yeah. You know, when I was helping in the Ridgewood Church and the Canarsie Church, I had two youth groups, I had two Christmas programs, I had two vacation Bible schools, and that was okay when I was single. And even after I got married, Lily was a great help to me. When we started having children, now life was getting busier, and we began to feel overextended, right? And I said, you know, we can't really do service to either church like this. And we're going to have to make a choice as to which church to devote more of our time to. And it was a hard choice because I loved everybody in Ridgewood and I loved everybody in Canarsie. But it seemed that Canarsie needed more help at the time. And so so we felt that the Lord led us that way very clearly. And we've been there for a long, long time now. And we still get over to Ridgewood and camp and so on. They were back to normal. Amazing. And so now we're just a healthy banana in Canarsie rather than a stretched up banana trying to do both jobs, right? But Epaphroditus, he overexerted himself evidently. He kept pushing and pushing until he got physically sick. And Paul said he almost died while he was with me. He said, that would have been good. He brings a gift to me and then he drops dead. You know, now what do I do? And I would have been sorrowful and you would have been sorrowful. And so I'm eager to get him back to you. I want him to get back home where he can get some rest. And he said, but listen, maybe he overexerted himself, but people like that, they're hard to find. People that are willing to give and all they have and then give some more. Just always giving to do the work of Christ. And he said, that's something to admire. That selfless giving for the benefit of others. Praise God. And so I hope you've been inspired by some of these examples. And they certainly give us things to pray about. Lord, help me to be like Paul in this respect. Like Timothy. Like Epaphroditus. And when we find ourselves having opportunity to serve, Lord, help me to really, don't let me just go through the motions. Don't let me become professional about the ministry. Don't let it become just a job to me. But Lord, let it be a real ministry, a real call. Hallelujah. Let me be your hands and your feet and your voice extended to the people of God. I have a poem. Good, I still have 1 minute. I like this poem. It's written by a man named Edgar Guest. I don't know who he is, but he says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one walk with me than merely tell the way or point the way. The eye is a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example is always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the ones who live their creed, for to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you will let me see it done. I can watch your hand in action, but your tongue may too fast may run. And the lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there is no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. I'd rather see a sermon than just hear one. Show me how to do it. Don't just tell me. People were arguing which was the best translation of the Bible. I like the King James. I like the NIV. Oh, no, the NIV is no good. That's an uninspired version. And then you have, I like the, what are they using now? In Ridgewood, what do they use there? English. ESV. That's a good translation. I know Brother Eddie liked that. And some guy raised his hand and said, I like my grandfather's translation. He lived it. I could see it lived out in his life. That really got across to me. Hallelujah. Well, you may be the only Bible somebody reads, so make sure you live it well. Praise God. Let's sing another song in closing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that song is, I'm thinking of it, about being like Jesus. We sang Be Like Jesus. And what's the other one about? Oh, To Be Like Thee. That's it. Thank you. That's number 325. 325. Let's stand and we'll sing a couple verses of that before we part one from another. 325. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Gavin, will you pray with us, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example that you set for us in your life, dear God. Thank you for the Apostle Paul and all these that we read about, dear God. Father, it's good to know, but Father, it's better to live.
Yeah.
So, Father, we pray this day that you would make these things real in our lives, oh God. You know, the Bible is written and there will be no more. And our names will never be in them. But Father, maybe we could change a life. Maybe in heaven's gate, we would see one or two that we inspired during their lifetime.
Yes, Lord.
So Father, we just come to you humbly this morning and we pray, dear God, that you would give us a heart for people, for sinners, for those that do not know you. and whose heart is open. We read about the heart that you opened, Lydia. You opened her heart. She was ready to receive.
Yes.
And so, Father, we pray this morning, maybe we're heading home or wherever, Lord, that you would prepare hearts and put us in those, in that path of those hearts that, that are prepared and ready for the gospel.
Yes, yes.
So we thank you this morning. Father, prepare the girls there in the village, in Romantum, in Natick, Father, prepare their hearts. We pray, dear God, that you would give their counselors a heart of Christ that would minister to those girls. And Lord, glorify your name. Draw hearts to yourself, we pray. We thank you for it. Father, as Brother Kenny leaves, Father, we pray that you would go before him.
Yes.
That you would send your angels after him, dear God, and minister to his needs, Lord. Protect his family. Bring them home safely, Lord. Continue to be faithful to him as he is faithful to you, O God. We thank you for his life and his ministry and his giving himself to you throughout these days that he was here ministering to us. Thank you, Lord. Bless him and strengthen him. Day by day we pray. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask all these things.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Thank you.